A reading from the book of Exodus. Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of Yahweh. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am Yahweh. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have set you an example, so that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of Christ.
Lord, make us masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Today has been a fascinating day for me. I had gone down to the cathedral earlier this morning and into the afternoon for the foot care clinic that was being offered there at the behest of Charlotte Cheesby and the Young Anglican Adults of Calgary group. This idea was simply to take this theme of what Jesus did in washing his disciples' feet that we observe on Maundy Thursday and to provide an opportunity for others in town who needed it to have their feet taken care of. What Jesus did that we read about in John 13 was a very practical thing. It was something that was not ceremonial. It was not a symbol, though it became such, but it actually had a deliberate function. Our feet are very important. If our feet are not working so well, we have a hard time walking. We have a hard time standing. Our feet take us everywhere. And back in that day, of course, as you could imagine, walking with open-toed sandals on dirt roads and everything else that ends up on those roads, one's feet would become quite soiled. And if they were not washed on a regular basis, they could be infected. They could track other things into houses and homes. And so having someone wash your feet had a very good, practical, healthy purpose behind it. And that's what Jesus did for his disciples. This morning and this afternoon at the cathedral, those who were unhoused and those who were elderly living nearby, maybe having difficulty financially and having difficulty maintaining their physical fitness as well as their financial fitness, were able to receive foot care at the hands of three podiatrists. And it was great to be able to see that as they would come into the cathedral and take a seat and have someone who is a professional, skilled at what they're doing, taking care of their feet. And I wonder, I've never been one to have pedicure, that's the word, you know. My brother has had a pedicure. I know Noel has had a pedicure, and I'm told it's a great experience. I've never had one, right? And, okay, Jeremy has had one too, you know, and so maybe one of these days I will. But it was just great being able to see this being offered, especially when a pedicure is often considered to be a bit of a luxury. For those that don't have the means for a lot of the main things you need in life, being able to think that you might ever spring for a pedicure is already something beyond what you normally expect. And yet that was being offered today. And one of the things I like to do when I encounter somebody who has a job that's a little more unusual, it's atypical, I like to ask them, why did they get into that particular line of work? And so one of the podiatrists is a man named Brennan, and he was there doing, I think, one of the neat things is that the volunteers were also able to get their feet done if there was time. And I think I'd asked him this question, I think when he was doing Reverend Jane Rowland's feet from St. Lawrence. But I asked him, what got you into podiatry? And the reason I asked that is because I figured that's one of the jobs that nobody ever says, you know, when I grow up, I want to be a podiatrist, right? Like, I don't think people do that. But we didn't have time to get a clear answer. But what he did begin to tell me was this. He said, well, I wanted to get into learning about things that provide healing for people and health for people. And so medicine in general, different aspects of it, that's what I was intrigued by. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to the part where he was going to say, here's why he settled on doing feet, because the next person had come in and was taking their place. But he did say that there's something to be said for being able to do something like this today. And I think what he was pointing at is that he knew that he was doing something for people that made a significant difference, something that was absolutely helpful and perhaps even comforting, and more than that, perhaps even a little bit more emotionally attached to somebody than just doing something else. And that is something that's curious. I found the first time I had had my feet washed, it was at St. John's York Mills Anglican Church in Toronto, and I had never done a foot washing service before. As a Pentecostal, that's not usually something we did back then, though I have done that ceremony once, but not on Maundy Thursday. But be that as it may, this is the first time I ever had my feet washed. And as the assistant priest of the parish, the Reverend Ann Crosswaite, knelt down and took my feet in her hands and did that, I was amazed at the emotion that was going with that, this kind of connectedness. And I can't help but think that part of the reason why such a thing happens is because, you know, touching somebody else's feet is almost an intimate act. It's not normally what we do. I mean, we walk around all the time. We have no problem going to a swimming pool. People can see our feet, like we don't care. That's fine. But when it comes to touching the feet, I can't help but think of the Madagascar movie and the King of the Lemurs, you know, do not touch the royal feet, you know, anyway. But I think that's kind of the case. And we don't go around touching each other's feet. To do so is making a connection in a way that's a little bit more than what we normally ever would do. And I think that's part of the reason why this symbolic act can be so significant. I think that's part of the reason why many avenues of healthcare in particular are significant, because when you're actually treating somebody's body for what maybe isn't working so well or what maybe needs to work better, that's something that goes beyond our usual daily interaction. When Peter objected to Jesus washing his feet that we read in the gospel that we heard Margaret read tonight, you know, we could see him on the one hand perhaps thinking, well, Jesus, you're far too important to wash my feet. You're not going to wash my feet. But then we find that there's got to be something else going on there, because when Jesus tells him, well, look, unless I wash you, you have no part of me, then Peter totally flips the other side and then, okay, well, then not just my feet, but wash my head and my hands as well. Like if you washing me is part of what makes me connected to you, then just let's just go for it, you know? And I think there is something profound about that sense of that closeness and connectedness and that emotional piece to what Jesus was doing for Peter, for all of his disciples. For, was Judas even present when he was washing feet? The question we might ask ourselves today, in light of this ceremony that we saw, this symbol, this symbolic act that we took part in, because for us today, washing feet like this has no function like it did back then. And it's certainly not the same as a pedicure. But nevertheless, it causes us to ask ourselves the question, in light of this symbol, whose feet are you washing? Because Jesus said, do you understand what I have done for you? If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so also you ought to wash one another's feet. And we can understand that Jesus might be saying, like, yeah, I do this for one another in this functional way, but I think he's definitely going beyond that. Because he goes on to say, no one is greater than the master, but if the master does this, so also should the servant, and so on. And so when we ask ourselves the question, whose feet am I washing? We aren't talking about literally washing feet. We're talking about what is demonstrated by this action, what is involved in this kind of activity. When we ask ourselves the question, whose feet am I washing? It's implying a couple of things. Number one, it's assuming that there is an answer, because if we're supposed to do what Jesus did, then hopefully the answer isn't no one. Because if Jesus said, I'm doing this for you, and so you also must do it, then we need to have somebody whose feet we wash. But then when we ask the question, whose feet am I washing? And if we're not meaning that literal activity, then what is it that we are doing for somebody else that is similarly significant, it's actually doing something practical, and even has that emotional connection that we discover can be part of this ceremony that we participate in. I prayed, Lord, make us masters of ourselves that we may become the servants of others. And you've heard that prayer several times, and it's easy to remember, oh yeah, that's the prayer he's using and that kind of thing. And yeah, we should be servants of others. And it's easy to say the words, and it's easy to know that we are serving by doing good things for other people. And one of the things that I do is I try to keep some loonies and toonies in my car so that when I'm in a left turn lane and there's a panhandler coming, I can very easily give them a loonie or a toonie, right? And that's certainly service. But I would suggest that that doesn't quite qualify as foot washing. Because it doesn't have the same kind of connection with the person that something more substantial might. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. And it's, you know, the panhandler definitely comes away with $1 or $2 more than if they hadn't done that or if I hadn't been generous. But I think if we're asking the question, whose feet am I washing? We're asking something far deeper. Who am I connected with? Who am I investing my life into? Who am I trying to help, trying to serve, trying to walk along with on a way that goes on a much more profound level than merely being able to say that I was generous to that guy over there or I helped this lady over here? But there's something more. Now, I would suggest to you that I'm not trying to think that we ought to have about a dozen people that we are washing their feet. Because the kind of thing that I'm talking about here that I'm pulling out of this passage would probably be something that is focused on a handful of people, perhaps even only one or two. But that we would ask ourselves, who am I giving myself to in this kind of love that Jesus demonstrated? That they would be receiving something from me that goes beyond merely the thing itself. For the 12 disciples, I'm sure when Jesus washed their feet, they weren't just going, oh, cool. Like, Jesus, my rabbi, that my feet are sparkling clean. Thank you, Jesus. No, there's something more going on there than just the fact that they ended up with clean feet. And so, whose feet are we washing? Who are we close to? Who are we making ourselves close to? Who are we giving ourselves to in a way that not only meets a need or provides a service, but that makes a connection that allows that action to be so much more than just the activity that it is? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can. But I want you to have that question resounding in your minds. And if you're having a hard time coming up with someone, or maybe you're thinking, well, you know, I do that for my family. Yeah, that's good. Absolutely. But you can't help but see that in Jesus' example, we're talking about going beyond family. So who outside of your family? Whose feet are you washing when they're not flesh and blood for you? Because none of the disciples were flesh and blood with each other. And Jesus said, this is how people will know you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another, a love demonstrated by the washing of one another's feet. So on this day, the day that Jesus introduced the Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper rather, the day that Jesus washed his disciples' feet, the night before he was betrayed, let that question challenge you as we move forward, as we walk through the remainder of Holy Week and into the Easter season itself. Amen.